What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Dental Marketer Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is a different podcast. I was actually debating to put this either on like a Monday morning marketing episode, but towards like and middle, close to the end, not so much close to the end, but we actually, this whole episode is really funny and really awesome, but at the same time filled with very great information from a seasoned dentist. But before we get into that, I wanted to take a moment to thank our sponsors and our supporters, Local Med. Guys, Local Med has an amazing deal for the TDM tribe, you guys, our listeners, right? So Local Med will maximize every dollar of your marketing budget by providing a way for patients to book an appointment instantly, 24/7, right? You've got enough going on. No need to be on call. Just put your Local Med widget on your website, on Google, on social media, and anywhere else you're advertising, and start filling your schedule immediately, guys. Your patients are already online, right? They're texting, they're either on Facebook, they're doing whatever, right? On Instagram. Give them an easier medium to just, instead of like, okay, I need a call, maybe it's 10 p.m., I need a call, or it's the weekend, it's Sunday, I need a call. No, you're not going to be at the office, or, you know, your employee doesn't really want to have that cell phone or take those calls. So that's where Local Med comes in. That's where real-time online scheduling from Local Med comes in. When your practice implements Local Med, patients can schedule appointments that show in your schedule at the right time, in the right chair, for the right provider, for the right length of time. They can do this 24/7, guys. Local Med is pretty magical. So I really, really suggest you guys get on it, especially use the link, guys. Use the link in my in the show notes below, because that link will get you an extra 10% off their setup fee. And here's the thing. They'll get you an extra 10% off on top of any deals that they're running already. And they're always running deals. So ask them, what deals do you guys got going on, right? And then be like, okay, I want an extra 10% off because of the Dental Marketer Podcast, right? Or even if you just use the link below, that link automatically provides you an extra 10% off your setup fee. So guys, use the link below. And thank you so much, Local Med, for supporting the Dental Marketer Podcast. And let's get back into the episode. So I had my notebook on the floor. See, when I edit episodes, I listen to it all over again so I can add notes, right? And I write it down on the notebook. Anyways, I really, really like this episode because it's with Dr. Alan Mead, right, from the Dental Hacks Podcast. And if you don't know the Dental Hacks Podcast, go listen to it. I'm going to put a link in the show notes below. It's literally, I think, the biggest and most engaging podcast in the dental space ever. They have over 3 million downloads and everything like that. I mean, I haven't even hit the millions yet, but help me, guys. Help me hit the millions. So anyways, in this episode, I podcast with Alan Mead, and it's literally a conversation. We just push record. We don't have an intro, nothing like that. So I guess this is technically the intro, but he just pushes record, and we talk about it, right? This is what we talk about. We talk about podcasting. We talk about the bad guests, the good guests, conversation stoppers. We talk about downloads as well. We also talk about what he did during his break, because he took quite a bit of a break on podcasting. And that's when he was releasing like the greatest hits episodes, right? So we talk about what he did as a break. I kind of see this episode, guys, as more like a laid-back episode, something you guys just want to hear. If you want to know Alan Mead a little bit more, definitely listen to this episode. If you want to know what we think about podcasting, our guests, and things like that, listen to this episode. It's more of a, and toward, like I said, towards the end, very, very great gems, especially for the people who are doing startups and who own a practice. He points out like what he thinks every dentist should be doing now, what we're over-focusing on, under-focusing, right? Things like that. So we also talk about bad marketing and annoying marketing tactics. Talk about dentists who blame marketing companies for no results. Whose fault is it really in that situation? And we also talk about what was Alan thinking about when he started creating Dental Hacks Podcasts. like what was his thoughts and all that stuff. And guys, at the same time, Voices of Dentistry is coming out in, I think, towards the end of this year. We talk about it on the podcast, so I will put a link to that. Get tickets, guys. Get tickets to that because it was amazing last year. I loved it so much. Podcasting all the time. It was a little bit tiring, but I mean, when you do something you love, right? Like, and this is what I love. This is exactly what I love about this interview, because Alan kind of just said podcasting is fun. It borders on goofing around. So podcasting is fun. It borders on goofing around. And it, man, you can really see that in this episode, right? Because it's just two podcasters talking, and I think we could have kept talking and talking, but I mean, as you can see towards the end of the episode, we had to get his part recorded for the Dental Hacks Daily. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Like I said, it's more laid back. So yeah.
Yeah, I never had to actually run out of the room per se, but you know, you got to do what you got
to
do.
Yeah, and then like, you don't know what to do. I feel like I don't know what to do in that situation, so then I just start drinking more water for some reason.
Yeah, that'll help.
It's kind of so dumb. And I'm like, yeah, oh, like, just sip a little bit more of this.
Yeah, maybe this will help.
Exactly. Oh man, how's your week coming along so far?
Good. Fridays. Well, okay. So I've been gone every Friday in July so far. So this is the first Friday in July we haven't been going somewhere. It's quite nice where I have to decide whether I'm going to take the kids to the pool or mow the lawn. That's the big decision for the day. So that's pretty good. This is pretty good. Like, I mean, it's been all good things that we've been traveling on, but you know, it's nice to not have that commitment. The older I get, the less I'm into to traveling. That's the.
You kind of just rather stay home?
Isn't that horrible? I mean, I like traveling. Isn't that horrible? I'm sort of turning into a grumpy old man in a lot of ways. It's just weird. I didn't know that was going to happen, but it sort of did. I mean, okay, so actually, we went to Rhode Island a couple weeks ago. Oh, sweet. We're over 1.3 million. How about that? Nice.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
Or you just saw it right now or no?
Yeah, I just opened Libsyn up to see where our. We release on Fridays, and we've been the last four Fridays we put out what I call a greatest hits episode, which is basically a recycled.
How is that, man? Show. Because I on one of the podcasts on your Alan Mead experience, you were talking about how you feel like the Daily Hacks is great, but you don't know if you're like shooting yourself in the foot by the Friday episode, because is it kind of like a. Do you feel sometimes it's more like, man, I mean, I know the audience is getting more of me, but I like
seeing
that number.
As a podcast listener, I know what it's like to get swamped when you got more than, and here's the thing.
Yeah.
The reality is when you have more podcasts on your device than you can listen to, that's when you really find out who the favorites are, right? I mean,
that's true.
Because right. If there's some that you'll skip because, you know, you'd rather listen to the next one. I listened to a couple, I don't know, I hesitate to say conservative, but I mean, Ben Shapiro is very conservative. I actually enjoy his podcast a lot, even though I don't necessarily agree with him on everything. I do enjoy it. And The Federalist, which is also probably kind of a conservative / libertarian. I listen to those quite regularly. Some of the other dental ones I won't listen to because there's so many of them unless I know who the guest is. Like if the guest is someone I want to hear. That will draw me in, but it is weird because there's so dang many of them. You can't really listen to all of them. Even me, I got a long commute and I can't listen to all of them. So
yeah, I know.
But you're in California, and California people are on the road constantly, so you can probably listen to everything all the time.
We do, but like I don't really listen to like I'm the same way. But for example, like you know, like the Joe Rogan Experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
That guy's pumping out content all the time.
Yeah, luckily I'm not really into MMA. And so every third episode for him seems to be an MMA thing. So I skip that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I like that.
But like some of the stuff I listen to of his is the best stuff out there. It's weird, right? Like you just don't, I don't know. He is terrific. He is terrific. And I really like a lot of his stuff. I don't know if I agree with everything he says, but I like
I don't think we always all agree with everything that everybody says sometimes.
Sure.
But
sure.
Like,
but what's funny is in these times, it's assumed that you agree with everything that a person says if you happen to listen to them at all, right? I mean, like, everything's so polarized that if I say I like to listen to Sam Harris, that means everything Sam Harris says, I totally agree with. I'm like, no, not at all. But I find him fascinating. Same thing with Joe Rogan.
I mean, like, even for you, like, on your podcast, because you've had tons of guests, right? Like, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure you don't agree with, like, I don't agree with all my guests sometimes, right?
Yeah.
So I'm just like, yeah, yeah, okay. You know, I just like.
We provide a platform. I will say this. I think that this is an interesting thing because you're a podcaster too. I'm throwing softballs. I'm not, I rarely come right over the top and challenge people. I'm not going to do that. I mean, that's not, you could, I guess. I'm not sure that that's our place. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. Like, I guess it just depends on the person. Like, I think sometimes I do. Sometimes, here's the thing, man. Like, we have, like you said, we have podcasts, right? And, like, for me, if it's like, because sometimes, and you witness it, there's those type of people who, especially marketers, right? They're like, hey, I think I should be on your podcast because I offer your audience, like, the most amazing whatever, right? And mm-hmm. so I sometimes challenge it, and I'm like, all right, come on, and let's see what you offer, right? And then how is it amazing? How is it different? And it's not sometimes, right? It's just like them blowing smoke.
I got to tell you that particularly for web marketers, I have people constantly emailing us, and I'm horrible. I just ignore their because I can't. All of them, you know what I'm saying? It's horrible, but it's true. I like most of them are shysters. Like Jason knows a lot about that stuff, particularly social media and stuff like that. And so, and you know. I don't trust them. I don't trust that stuff, and I want to pick someone who I know can carry an episode. You know, and I don't. So these folks probably are. They don't have a great in with me.
Who would you not pick? Like, how do you know if an interview is going bad?
We haven't had any that I haven't used. I've lost a couple of them because of glitches in recording, but we haven't had any that I. There are some that I haven't gotten to yet. Like I still got some stuff from the Chicago Midwinter that I just never got to. It's really good stuff. But actually I gotta dig that out today. Some of that stuff will be on the Dental Hacks Daily soon. That was really good stuff.
Do you work in your practice today or no?
No. I knock off at 2:00 on Thursdays. I don't work Fridays. So
Fridays is like for podcasting?
Well, it is now. It was used to be for farting around. Now it's for this.
Farting around.
Yeah, well, I mean, like
in the studio.
Yeah, cool, but it's weird. I don't know why, but so long ago, I think I'm old enough that I'm one of those guys that dentists don't work on Fridays. But you know what? There's a lot of younger folks that don't have the luxury of just being able to choose that, and I did. So
I know. I mean, almost everybody in the startup group is even working Saturdays. You know what I mean? Like they're doing.
Yeah, because they got. I mean, literally, they kind of need it. They kind of need it because I mean, startup people, man, those people are savage.
I know. And they have like an associateship and they're working. I'm like, jeez, that's.
They're committed well beyond what I ever was. I mean, I don't like this job that much. I mean, I do like it. Don't get me wrong. But I'm like. But on the other hand, the debt that I came out of dental school with, I know I've said this 1,000 times on the show. I probably said it the last time we talked.
Yeah.
$85,000. And I thought my life was over.
Oh, yeah.
And like. The people coming out and are like, dude, that's not even freshman year.
I know.
Okay.
Like, oh, that's
before
cute.
That's before I pay for food. Exactly.
That's funny, man. But yeah, so tell me, are you shooting yourself in the foot with the Daily Hacks podcast?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Numbers are now, the numbers are, well, it's interesting because we've been off for a month. We'll see, I guess. But the numbers are such that the dailies are, let me look at them right now.
What have you been doing for the whole month that you've been off? Just vacationing?
A lot of traveling. Okay, so let's see. 626. This was a month ago. We have just under 2,000 downloads for that. We had two lab techs on for the daily, and then the same Friday. Okay, so then 628, which was a month ago Friday, our last episode that we released in June, a regular episode. We have 2,325. So we have a little bit more. Let's see what I got. And then the Brain Trust one on vacations, 2,300. That's a lower number. Okay. And Tarun's, which was a Friday, was a 2,600. So the Friday ones are getting a little bit less. than they used to be. But here's the thing. Over time, they are continuing to be bigger. So like over what happens is, like, back when I used to go to the podcast movement and do all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Did you go this year or no?
No, I didn't. Actually, it's going on right now, I think. Yeah. It was a good meeting, but I think part of it is I got what I got out of it. A lot of that. You'd probably really enjoy it because there are just a lot of marketing minds there. The problem is there's a ton of people that are more aspiring than doing it. And that the aspiring ones sort of got on my nerves a little bit. Because the aspiring ones can talk like they've got a multi-million dollar industry. They haven't done anything yet, you know, and that bugs me because they're just not. There's a fair amount of not that. They're not transparent about that stuff. So, like when the first time I went, we already had our podcast had been going on for 2 months and we were doing quite well for a new podcast. And there were tons of people telling me how I should do everything. And then in looking back, you'd say they're not doing anything. You know, so like taking advice from someone who's absolutely not doing anything at all is probably not a great idea. I don't know.
Yeah. That's true.
And there was a lot of that at Podcast Movement. But on the other hand, they are now, the kind of guests they get now are pretty amazing. I mean, they had Kevin Smith last time. They had Roman Mars the last time I was there. He's who does 99% Invisible. Which is one of my favorites. He was great. Super funny. They had the woman who did Serial. What's her
name? Oh, really?
Yeah. They've got some pretty great guests, good speakers. And they had some speakers. I liked some of the speakers that we're talking technical stuff, how to run Audition, that sort of thing. That was fun. It was good. It was a good meeting. If it were convenient, like if they, you know, they did do it in Chicago and I didn't go, so I guess I'm lying a little bit. If it were convenient to go, it would make it easier. But it's always in the summer, and I tend to have more travel than I can do anyhow with the podcast, with dental stuff, you know. So
yeah, I know I do want to go, but. I'm not gonna lie, man. Money, like,
yeah, exactly. I'm like, it's another couple grand to do that, you know, just between the travel and the meeting itself. If they asked me to speak on something, I would consider it. And I'm by saying ask me to speak, that means I would submit what I could talk about. And if they wanted me to come, I would probably do that. They don't have paying gigs either. They don't pay anyone either. But I would probably do that only because I think it would be fun to talk about it from the standpoint of someone who's actually done some of the stuff that everyone's talking about, you know, in a particular niche.
Yeah, because I agree. There are a lot of marketing people who are like, hey, I can market your podcast. And I'm like, oh, what podcast? Where's yours? And or something, you know, they're like, oh, I haven't started mine yet, but I've helped hundreds or something.
That, you know, what is that about marketing in particular, man?
Dude, here's the thing. Like, when I started off this whole thing, like, I was just trying to give out free stuff, like free things, right? Like free information, pretty much, in my community. I didn't know podcasting was heard like all over the world, right? I thought just because there was five other dentists who wanted to hire me in the same community for ground marketing, but I didn't know how to, you know, I couldn't split that up. It was just me. So that's how I did it. But then what I noticed is, like, I don't know, man, marketers just kind of like, it's this stuff we read and all these funnels that we are like, okay, we need to get an audience first. And then after we get the audience, we need to funnel them through questions, get them with an opt-in, give them something for free, like something to bait them, right? And then you continue to feed them with content, and then you get them, right, with like a sale or something like that. And then make it seem like and there's so many things that are out there, like, oh, it has to be scarcity, right? Like, oh my gosh, there's not enough. There's only 20 more seats available, or whatever, right? I don't know what it is, to be honest with you, man. Like, I just feel like in this age, everybody's like, you hear marketing, you're like, oh man, I don't want to.
The problem is everyone acts like they have the secret sauce.
Yeah, yeah.
And there isn't the secret sauce. There is no secret sauce.
Exactly.
There are approaches. There are techniques that are, but nothing works for everything, for one, you know, in much the same in every other industry there is. Mm-hmm. Like, nothing works everywhere. Some things are particularly good in certain areas. Having that knowledge would be good. But first off, a lot of these places make promises to get clients, and they can't, the promises that they cannot possibly succeed. Yeah. You know I mean, they can't
like
do
some
it.
Of that's some of the things I don't get is like SEO, for example, when they say like, hey, I can put you first on Google. I'm like, man, how many people, like, what if 7 dentists sign up with you, right? Like in the same neighborhood or community.
Mm-hmm.
How are all of them going to be first on Google?
No, that's right. It can't happen.
I think about, like, for example, right now, like, didn't Facebook just drop? It's at its lowest, right? When it comes to shares.
Yeah.
And I think about it like, dang, what if that's like another MySpace? Like, what if it just goes all out? Like, who? How many people? Like, how many?
I don't
many...
really want to think about that, actually. But yeah, that's
like,
funny.
I think about it, and I'm like, how else will? I mean, I think Warren Buffett's right. You know, you have to have multiple means of income. But like, those are things I think about where I'm like, yeah, you have to have. There has to be multiple ways you can do things, right? There just can't be one way.
Yeah.
And I don't think you should just shut everything out. But at the same time, like, I don't know if any marketers are listening, but like at the same time, if you're a marketer and you're like, you're doing all that, you know how like they reach out to you and like, hey man, I can get you to number one, or I have the best formula, or I'm not going to let all my information out. Like the best thing I've ever done in my end in order to scale like my side of the business was just not have any secrets. Just tell everybody everything. And if people like it, if they like the scripts or they like the results or everything, then perfect. If they don't, then I don't know, man. Go with somebody else, right?
Yep. Yep.
So to me,
but on the other hand, you haven't promised them something.
No, I never. I mean, like the only thing we can like guarantee is like, yeah, we can get you like events, right? Places to go, things like that. But if, for example, you're just going to these events or you're going to do lunch and learns or set up booths, right? And you're just quiet the whole time, like you don't speak to anybody.
Yep.
That's not on us. You know what I mean? Like it's like, hey, you need to do something about that. So
there's in general in dentistry, there's a certain amount of commitment that every dentist has to make. If you're gonna make a change, you have to commit to it and you have to do the legwork. I'm very in touch with my own self, and I know that I'm horrible at that. So a lot of times I don't commit to do those things because I know I won't.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about that is that's not actually a bad thing. It like knowing if you'll do it or not should help you decide if it's worth doing. And of course the marketing guy who wants to sell you on it doesn't really care about that, right? Like like it would be best if the marketing guy knew the kind of person you were, because if there's a certain amount of commitment, or for that matter the continuing education guy, the practice management guy, anything like that, if they know that the dentist is not likely to follow through or the dentist is going to struggle with that, they either have to have for the dentist to have success and say nice things about them, they're going to have something in place to make sure that they actually follow through.
Because
if they don't, even though the marketing guy or the practice management guy did everything right, and that dentist that owner who just doesn't have a lot of gumption to follow through, they're going to say, it didn't work for me. You know what I'm saying? So it's that's something that I don't know if marketers think about that. I don't know if they we spent a bunch of time last week at Spear, and basically they took us on a tour, and you saw like they have an entire section of the people that work for them, an entire floor of people that work for them are the people that are making sure the people that are taking classes and subscribing to content from Spear are implementing and following through. And if they're not, what can we do to make that happen? Well, shoot. I mean, literally they have people that their job is to call dentists and bother them about whether they've been implementing stuff.
Uh-huh.
Like, if you are a practice management person, are you doing that? Because honestly, that's the hard work. The hard work isn't coming up with the great ideas. The hard work is actually doing it,
making
sure that they're doing it. Yeah, exactly. The execution of it is a nightmare.
Yeah, because I think that applies with like any business, right? Like you can kind of like get fall in love with the idea of like, oh man, I'm gonna make this and I'm gonna make this. Like for example, like. Dude, how many times have, and I'm pretty sure this has happened to you, but how many times have we been thinking like, I want to start another podcast, right? And it's going to talk about this. Or
all the time.
I want to start this. And I think about
I have about 10 podcasts in the back of mine that are just, they're ready to go. Yeah. And then I realize, oh, wow, that's a lot of work.
That's what I think. I'm always like, I'm going to start one on nutrition. I'm going to start one on this, right? I think that all the time. But when you actually have to implement it, you're like, I'll do it maybe in a month, right?
Yeah.
It's been like a year and something and I still haven't done. The only one that I've executed was the dental marketer, because it's it, you know what I mean? But I feel like sometimes we do that. We fall in love with the idea of making it happen. Mm-hmm. And
I guess, actually, the ideas are fun, first off.
Yeah.
Well, like I do that all the time, and it's like frankly, my entire 20-some year career in dentistry has been, has been like living in a fantasy world of the cool things that I'm going to do.
But that's the thing, though. Like, I think because of that and the way we vocalize it, that's when the marketer hears it, and then they try and tickle your ear even more, right? They're like, oh, I know you can do that. I know, you know what I mean? And then that's when they get you.
The cool thing about me is that I've been doing it long enough that I'll live in the fantasy for a little while about how great it's going to be. And then when it comes time, what happens is a new fantasy usually comes in and bumps that old fantasy out of there. And if I've taken any notes or written something down, what's really fun is to come back 6 months later and go, yeah, I remember when I thought this was the next big thing. Like I can't tell you how long every time a new narrative style podcast comes out that that takes over the world for a week or two. I'm like,
oh yeah,
dentistry needs this, and I'm the guy to do it. And I've done this multiple times where I like map out my strategy. And the one thing I know about narrative podcasts is, oh my God, are they a lot of work? Wow. I mean, like, I think I edit a lot now. Like, whoa. So It's a funny deal. It's a funny deal how that works, but it's not a bad thing. It's only bad when your life counts on you executing them. Having some great ideas are good. I will say, probably like people who have a lot more money and time, or a lot more that get a lot of stuff done, have a team that help them execute it. Where I am in my basement taking notes. You know, not really doing that. So I mean, but that said. We have the Dental Hacks podcast. The Dental Hacks started out like that at some point. So that one, you know, took off. I have dental microscopes in my office, and that was for the longest time a pipe dream. So that took off, you know. So some things stick, and maybe that's how it works. It's almost like survival of the fittest with my ideas, which ideas come back and continue to bug me until I actually do something about it. That's probably more about me. There's a lot of people that are super driven, but understand. If you're an idea person, if any of this rings true to anyone listening to this, not every idea, even though it seems good in your head, not every good idea ends up being a good idea.
Yeah.
So, you know, exactly. You have to be critical of your ideas in a lot of ways. You have to be willing to point out the flaws of them, because you don't want to get stuck mired in an idea that really, I don't know, maybe wasn't a great idea.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of like what, to be honest, I think that's what a really, really good, kind of going back on the marketer subject, like what a marketer does, not like they help you get to your idea, you know what I mean? Like get to that. Like, and if it's a really good one, they'll let you know, like, hey man, you need to modify your idea this way to make it. Because here's the thing, like when you started off Dental Hacks, were you thinking like money, or were you thinking,
oh God, no.
What were you thinking when you started it off?
Okay, a couple things that I wasn't thinking. Someday we'll have a meeting of podcasters in dentistry. I was not thinking that.
Yeah.
Like literally last year at the Voice to Dentistry. And I mean, the first Voice to Dentistry was a blast. There was definitely magic. Yeah. The place wasn't all that nice though. I mean, the Tennessee was great. I frankly love Tennessee. I could see doing it again in Tennessee at some point, but like the execution of the idea, really, we nailed it on last year.
Yeah.
Because the podcasters were the meeting, you know, that was kind of like, frankly, we had people up on stage, but we really encouraged people to go watch the people on stage. Yet the magic was happening the whole entire time at the tables of people podcasting. That's my dream. When we started the Dental Hacks podcast, I didn't think that someday that's going to happen. There's nothing like that at all. To be honest, I know for sure we never thought about monetizing. Monetizing did not ever come into my brain. That was such a pipe dream. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if anyone was going to listen, for one thing. What a weird thing. I mean, I knew a lot of dentists on Facebook, and I had been on Dental Town for a while, so I thought, well, we'll get some people to listen. This will be a novelty act or whatever. But like we had a pretty solid following right off the bat, I have to say. Now, mind you, some of that has to do with bots. Some of that has to do with just, you know, the internet sort of taking advantage of us, but we've sort of cleared a lot of that out, but it was enough to keep us going. And then, you know, like, but we definitely never had an idea we'd have a huge Facebook group. We didn't, none of that stuff existed in my brain. Maybe it did in Jason's, but it didn't in mine, because I wasn't even thinking big enough at that point. But who knew?
Yeah.
Who knew, right?
Yeah, I know. It was last year, or the last, you're gonna have another Voices of Dentistry, right?
Yes, actually, okay. Yeah. I mean, we technically haven't announced it yet, but yes, it's actually the same place. It's at the Doubletree in Scottsdale. Mm-hmm. It's January 25th and 26th. Official release should be soon on that. What's really funny is we've got a lot of people, a lot of speakers that want to come speak, high-end speakers that want to come speak or want to come participate because the reputation from last year. Because it, really, it was magic last year.
It was. Man, there was not – I mean, like, I think I only saw – I know I saw maybe Anissa, a little bit of – because I heard like a bunch of music and everything. I'm like, what's going on? And I saw the Nifty Thrifty guys.
Yeah.
And then I forgot who else I saw speak. But other than that, like, it was just podcasting the whole time on the table.
Yep.
Like, that was it. And with people that you just barely met. The one thing, and I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. I'm just going to tell you right now. Like, I'm sorry, but there was like a lot of the people who were sponsors there and I didn't have time to interview them. And I was, in my mind, I'm like, you know, because, I mean, you got to look out. Like, I want to look out for you, too. So I was like, I want to interview them. That way, like, you know, they feel like they're a part of this as well.
We got a lot of them, don't you? A lot, and I will say there's enough podcasters out there that had relationships and stuff. Well, I think the sponsors felt pretty good about it. I think you'll see a fair amount of them coming back.
That's really good, funny. Man. That's really good.
Okay, so 3M, this is the greatest thing ever. So 3M, they sponsored. Or they gave us some money. I don't even know if it was a sponsor. I don't remember what level it was, but they didn't even want a booth. Mm-hmm. And that happens a lot, by the way. Like, I say this like I know about running meetings. I know nothing about running meetings. This is literally all brand new to me. So I didn't know how any of this stuff works.
Yeah.
But they sent some people. You know, they sent some people. And what's so funny is, so I went to the Midwinter, Chicago Midwinter, like a month afterwards. And the 3M people that were there, they were so excited. They were like, that was the most fun we've ever had. And it was really and like they can't wait to come back, not because they want to have a booth there and they're going to sell a lot of 3M product, but because it was a really good time. And they brought – it just so happened like the head of oral care, who's basically the head honcho at 3M, came and interviewed – we interviewed him on the podcast. And, I mean, he's a serious guy. And he was hilarious. He was super fun. Like, and he enjoyed doing it with us. Like, what happens is – and you know this story. People don't realize that like doing podcast interviews is fun. It's not. It is not this big intimidating thing. It's fun. It borders on goofing around doing what we do. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, but you can still get great stuff out there. And so people don't realize it. And so and Voice of Dentistry is the place to do it. It's the best place to do it. You can do it in you know, right in face to face, which is, you and I doing this is fine, and you and I are good at doing this because we do it all the time, but it's not natural to be interviewed over Skype or something for someone who doesn't do it a lot. It's weird.
I know, yeah.
But being in, you know, put a headset on and being in, you know, talking to someone, that's not hard at all. And the conversations were a blast. I mean, literally some of the most fun I've had in my entire life. Also, some of the most tired I've been in my life. Like, just going the whole time. That was so great.
Yeah. Well, like, to be honest, there are some people where you interview them and you know it's an interview, you know what I mean? Like for example, right now with you, almost every time I record with Ashley and other people, right, we record and I just push record, that's it. Then mid interview they're like, oh, have you recorded? And I'm like, yeah, Ben, we're 20, like, we're, you and me right now, we're 27 minutes in already. But like with other people, it's like, all right, you ready? Yeah. And say, welcome to the Dental Marketer Pod.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then you kind of know, I guess, man, have you ever...
I think for people who don't do it very much, there's a certain amount of anxiety. And as an interviewer, you can help that. You can kind of fix that part of it.
Well, one thing I like to ask them, like, before the podcast, and this is just recently. I've just recently been asking this, like, hey, you know, what would make this the most powerful interview of your life so that, you know, everyone listening is moved and inspired by you? And so if they give me, like, and you can tell if they give you a genuine answer, right? But if they give you an answer like, oh, well, if they buy our product immediately today, and I'm like, oh, man, this is not going to be a good podcast. I don't even think I'm going to air this.
They can't dial the 800 number fast enough.
I know, yeah. So sometimes, I don't know, like, for you, for example, if I were to ask you that right now, what would be the most, if this was the podcast, how would this, what would make this the most powerful interview of your life?
I got two things. If I was able to make them, like, actually laugh, like, remember, oh my God, that dude made me laugh. And if they told someone about it, they told someone, you ought to listen, this is really good. That would be it. That's all I need. And that might be a low bar, but to be honest, it's not necessarily. Because how many times have you told someone about the... I will tell you, I as I'm working, I a lot of times will talk about the podcast I listen to on the way into work to patients or my assistant or whatever, just in the regular gab. And I'm like, interesting. I would love it if they go subscribe to the podcast, but more than anything, it'd be cool if they talked to someone about our podcast. If something we said got in their head enough that it like made it into a conversation later in the day, that would be powerful. And I know it sounds kind of cheesy, but it's true.
Yeah, it is.
You'd love to know that you were received enough.
Would you rather have
also if they bought a lot of my product?
Yeah, buy his product. So, like, if for example, and I think you've asked this before, right? And I think in the podcast forum or Facebook group,
sure, probably.
Probably you said, like, what would you rather have? Or somebody asked it, like, a bunch of listeners, no engagement, or a lot of engagement, oh, yeah, and a small, yeah, amount of listeners.
Yeah, I asked that. I asked that.
Man, I'd rather have engagement. Like, I'd rather know, like, we're all a family listening in.
Yep.
And the one thing for me that I wouldn't want is I wouldn't want just a bunch of, like, salespeople listening. You know what I mean? I would want, like the people I imagine listening are, like, maybe someone who's looking to better their marketing, obviously, right? And their business.
Yeah.
In their dental practice, or like a young dental student. I get a lot of young dental students who reach out to me, and, you know, startups, obviously.
Do they really? I mean, good for them, because I was so not there when I was a dental student. I was keeping my head down and hoping to get out. You know? like it was, I was not looking like, what is my life going to be when I'm a dentist? I'm like, God, am I going to make this? Oh my gosh.
I know, yeah. No, I mean, no, yeah. I mean, like, oh, every day at least, I either get like, oh man, can you ask the person on your episode this or that or whatever, right? Who was on here? Or I either get just like, great episode. Actually, you know what? I save a lot of those, like, it's called a thank you folder in my, because, you know, sometimes you're doing this and you're like, I don't know if I should keep doing this. But then you read mm-hmm. that and you're like, oh man, no, I feel like I've 100 something people have reached out to me so far. And, you know, like, I feel like I'm doing okay so far, you know? That's why I save that little.
I think, yeah, folder. It's good to be able to go back to that. It really is. Because that means someone has literally gone out of their way to like, say something about what you're doing. It's a big deal. Yeah. It's a super big deal.
Or they could just leave reviews, but whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I like reviews, but.
It's really funny. The review thing is, okay, so I'm 4 years into this. 4 years last June, so over 4 years into it. And I finally kind of stopped looking at reviews and stats every single day. Like, I don't look at it every day.
Uh-huh.
We don't get a lot of reviews on a, like we used to get, you know, if we get one or two every couple of weeks, I was really happy. We haven't had, like, I'm going to just check and see the last review the Dental Hacks had was, let's see, June 18th, 2018. So last month.
That's not that bad. That's not too bad.
When we have, how many reviews? We have 239 ratings and 163 reviews. I'm tickled with that. Don't get me wrong. I'm no longer convinced that iTunes has much to do with anything with regard to your I'd love to be up in iTunes. I really would. I'd love to be. I don't, but I know that it doesn't have to do with downloads. I'm certain of that because episodes that we have that have much more, you know, okay, so we had Frank Spear and Greg Kinzer on. That's kind of a big get. And the downloads were higher than average in the beginning, but that episode didn't do any better than anything else did. You'd think that episode would take the world by storm, and it did on iTunes. It wasn't even a thing. So, like, clearly iTunes doesn't mean that much in reality. I would love to know, frankly, how that algorithm works. Don't get me wrong. I love to be doing more in iTunes, but I don't think it's that important to how well your podcast is doing. Yeah. In the beginning, it is. But the other thing is, like, they haven't updated the What's Hot section in 1,000 years, I don't think. I mean, like...
Oh. But what section are you looking at? Like, what category are you looking at?
I'm in... we're in medicine.
Oh, science and medicine?
Yeah, science and medicine, and specifically medicine. If you click on medicine, and then there's the What's Hot category, we're smack in the middle of What's Hot. You know what's really funny?
What?
They stopped updating What's Hot, like, 2.5 years ago, on at least in medicine. It's no different. It's the same now as it was Same with new and noteworthy. Dentist implants and worms is still in new and noteworthy right now in medicine.
Really?
Dentist implants and worms is like 3 years old. I mean, I know. Like, it's not new. It is noteworthy, but it's not new. And that was the thing. You wanted to get your 8 weeks in new and noteworthy and all this stuff. And so much of what we thought we knew about podcasts and what it means, it doesn't.
I know, yeah. Right now, I'm looking at it on all podcasts under science and medicine. I remember I thought I saw Joshua Austin. I thought I saw his podcast.
They do very well. They do very well, the Working Interferences guys. They're actually number three in top podcasts right now. Those are actually updated. The top episode and top podcast in any different category. Those are actually what is taken into account that makes them the top podcast. I don't know. My suspicion is it's most. I know that new subscriptions has a lot to do with it, and so in some ways, having an older podcast goes against. If you've been out for a while, there's just less new people to subscribe, kind of thing.
Like how long has the Dentist Money Show been out?
Oh, it's been for years. For years,
they're on here as well on the all podcast Science and Medicine, and so is the new one, Shaquila Angadis and Glenn Vose, the Inspired Dental Life.
Sure, yeah. So I mean, there. But I'm looking at in medicine, like top podcasts.
Oh, I'm looking at Science and Medicine. Yeah.
I'm seeing We're There. Mark is there. Nifty Thrifty is there. Working Interference is number three. Anissa is in there. All the shared practices. So it's not like we're not all in there. But I think that, I mean, Apple is running an algorithm here. This isn't people going in and picking their favorites. I mean, this isn't people from Apple doing it. There's an algorithm, so they're measuring something. I just don't know what they're measuring. I'm certain that it's not downloads. Let's just say that it's like sheer number of downloads is not what's being measured there. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I see you guys right here. Yeah. Hey man, so.
We're in the middle. It doesn't. So I don't get feeling bad about it like I used to. Like But I mean, the other thing that I mean, I look at what we've got and what. First off, what's really cool. The way that I judge that we're doing okay is the caliber of guests that we are able to bring in. That's a big deal to me. Like in other words, podcasting to me was like. A way to talk to people that would probably never talk to me before.
Yeah.
If you have a podcast, then maybe these big people might talk to you about stuff. And frankly, we got Frank Spear and Greg Kinzer, a couple months ago. I could quit now. That's pretty much as big as it gets, right? But the fact that we got Jameson Spencer coming on again. He's a big deal. He spoke at the Voice of Dentistry. He's one of the more popular educators on TMJ and sleep apnea and airway stuff and all that. And he wants to be on again. That tells me something about the dental hacks, right? Like the fact that we've got people that would like to be on the show. We've got a bunch of the Spear guys that would like to be on the show. I'm happy about that. And of course, those are people that I would love to interview and all that sort of thing. So the kind of people that we're able to get now versus when we started says, yeah, we've done something. And that's very cool. I think a lot of the podcasts could say the same thing. But a lot of podcasts also are not necessarily aiming to interview the big dudes. I think a lot of the podcasts are trying to interview the people who don't get a lot of love for what they're doing, even though they're doing really cool stuff. So there's that too.
Yeah, that's true. I know, like, for example, I see some people say like, oh, there's a lot of dental podcasts and all the same interviews. Yeah. Like they're all the same people we're interviewing. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? That's kind of true. Like we are sometimes like this guy's been on like all of them. This one guy, you know what I mean? Like you think about it. So that's why sometimes I try and interview like, oh, you just opened your practice. Let's talk about your struggle right now.
Yeah.
Oh,
and that's where for us, the brain trust is a really cool thing because we actually get regular dentists on there. I think that's important.
Yeah. Like I think kind of Howard tapped it out.
Howard has got so much content out there. He's interviewed everyone.
I know.
And that's okay in some ways. But different kinds of interviewers are going to bring different things out too. You know what I'm saying? So I think in a lot of cases I told you earlier, I'm like, I can't listen to all the dental podcasts. I don't have time. There's not enough time in the world, right? So if you're interested in a guest, that's when the trick would be to like go over to Practice in a Pod because Sean has that set up. So basically all the dental podcasts are gonna whatever comes out, you'll see it there. See what the guests are. And then listen from there. You know what I'm saying? Like I mean, either, if you're okay subscribing to all of them, that's great. But some of them are gonna, the Practicing a Pod is a very cool thing that he did this, and this is all just, you know, completely and totally automatic.
Does he have a podcast or no?
He does actually now. He's been on and off with quite a few of them. He has it's called, it's sort of a funny thing. It's called the Dope Lunch, and that's basically it's, I forget exactly. DOPE stands for Dentist.
Oh, Dope Lunch.
Hang on a second here. I need to. And Dope Lunch is great because it's he and Zach Miners eating lunch together talking about dental stuff. And Dope stands for, here it is. I'm looking at the logo here. I should know this. This is embarrassing.
He's going to listen to this and he's going to be like,
Dope Lunch stands for Dentist on the Phone Eating Lunch. D-O-P-E lunch.
On the phone eating
so,
lunch.
Right. Which is really hilarious. Dentist on the Phone Eating Lunch. So, and that's what it is. He does the Dope Lunch with... And my favorite thing about them is how they name the episodes. They name them for whatever they're eating. So episode 13 is called Venison Tacos.
I like that, man. That's cool, man. That's different.
Episode 12
you know what
is Truffle Aioli Burger. I just think that's so clever. Yeah. Sean literally, if there's one word, he's just clever. His brain is a little scary. It's going all the time.
I like that, man. That's really cool. Really quick, before I ask you more like dental-related questions that people want to know, but what... For example, I want to know too. Like, what's the future for like you guys as far as dental hacks? Because I know you guys just redid also the website,
yep,
as well. Looks really good. And what is like the future for that? Facebook, your group.
A lot of people ask us that. And here's the thing: I have it all figured out. In 5 years, I'm going to own the biggest mansion in the notion. I got nothing. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen at all. I really enjoy doing podcasts still. It's really funny because taking a month off tells me like this right now, this is my element, what we're doing right this second. This is my element. I'm particularly like into doing this stuff. So we're going to keep doing stuff. Sometimes I think we're going to do more, you know, but we'll see how the Dental Hacks Daily goes, because the Dental Hacks Daily is a shorter version. It's a different podcast, but it's the same, you know, it's us, but it's a different style of podcast, and people are liking it. We're getting a lot of downloads from that, which gives us more chance to. I mean, we are looking at ourselves kind of as a media company in some ways. The website's similar as well, where we're doing some different cool stuff on the website. The Facebook page clearly is a big deal for us and all that stuff. I don't know exactly what's going to happen. I don't know. And Jason is funny because Jason is more fatalistic, and I'm always really optimistic about stuff. But his point is well taken. Nothing lasts forever, you know. And at some point, it's likely something's going to come to an end for whatever reason. One of us gets hit by a bus, or we stop liking doing it, or podcasts are no longer a thing, or you know, Facebook becomes the next MySpace. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure what's going to happen. I mean, right now it's just. We seem to be continuing with, you know, the Voice of Dentistry is definitely happening next year. You know, we're continuing to, and we're going to, next week after, basically once August comes around, we're going to start firing up the media machine, and we'll be out there again. You know, we're going to be having, you know, three podcasts a week and a bunch of, you know, website posting, and we'll be, you know, so we're going to keep doing what we're doing. For me in the long run, I would love to see myself maybe working one less clinical day and doing a little bit more stuff. There's enough stuff to be done with the dental hack stuff that I could probably take another day off. I haven't done that yet.
Yeah.
I'd love to pull the trigger on that. But.
Are you making, like, last time we spoke, you said you weren't making yet enough. Now
we're aiming towards some monetization stuff. It's going okay. It's going okay. But like, it's still really new in this space. And what I worry about is that what I don't want to do is promise something that we can't deliver to the people we work with. Yeah. And to be frank, we're continuing to work with people that we already work with. In other words, we're not seeking out companies that we don't know anything about to work with. We are working with companies that we already love. You know what I'm saying? Like the bird that's spinning in my handpiece is that's the company we're working with. You know, all that stuff. So. We're working with our friends, and we're building slowly but surely on that. I do think at some point, dental podcasts will be a platform that a lot of dental companies want to work with. It's still a little bit wild, wild west, and I think companies don't know exactly what to expect from that. Can podcasts be monetized? I think they probably will be able to.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to replace being a dentist for people?
No.
Being a dentist is too good of a gig anyhow. Honestly, it's like it's a great job. I feel bad for younger folks because I came into it in a good time. that I did like I was able to buy affordable. I was able to buy a practice and you know, literally I was less than a year out when I bought my first practice and I paid the thing off in 5 years and my student loans were paid off in 15 years, but my payment was like if I had a car payment, it was higher than my loan payment. You know, it was like, no, it was just not like you're saying startups are having to be a thing. And that's a whole different, you got to have the eye of the tiger guts to do that. I didn't have to have any guts to do that, like at all. So
I know, man. Yeah. It's what
like,
would
I mean,
you...
at the time it seemed brave, but looking back, I'm like, I got nothing on these guys.
Yeah. I got like, cause they tell us and like they, you see, I don't know if you're in that group, but like they kind of do it through Facebook Live, right? Like some of them are starting up like fee-for-service practices, right, in a very saturated community, or they're doing something completely different, right, where they're spending like over $1 million on their practice and they're like, okay, I hate my associateship, or they just got fired, right, they just got fired from their associateship. Yeah. And it, in my mind, I'm like, man, that's super risky, but you know, kudos to you, man, because that's really awesome.
My brain just melted because that kind of money, like taking out a loan on that kind of money without having any real knowledge of whether or not you can pay it back, that like that would keep me up nights. Thinking about it makes me anxious. I'm sitting here in my basement. It just makes me anxious because as much as I took a quote unquote risk, mm-hmm. it was nothing like that at all.
Yeah.
It was nothing like that. Hope the best because that's a scary thing, and that's a bit. I mean, what I don't hear about is these guys failing miserably. And I'll tell you what, if you can overcome that, man, you can overcome anything.
Yeah, I know. I never really hear of a dentist. Like, oh man, I failed, right? Like maybe because of like embezzlement or something, or they got arrested, or
yeah,
who knows,
yeah.
Right? Their license taken away, things like that. Which I think I saw that in your the Facebook group, Dental Hacks. Sometimes I see a lot of drama in the Dental Hacks Facebook group. I'm like, oh man,
it's I mean, it is a blast, and actually, I have to say, if you're willing to sort through, there's some pretty good stuff in there.
Yeah.
But there's drama a lot of times.
What's like the worst drama or fire you had to put out?
Here's the thing. we have team members as well, hygienists, assistants, office managers, not just doctors.
Okay,
and that's one of the reasons we're so big. You know, not dentists, uh-huh. not just. We do. You're supposed to answer questions to get in. In other words, it's not like we require that you send us your license number or you know. But we ask questions that we try and make sure they're dental people. But basically, it started out as a group for people who listen to the podcast, and mm-hmm. so. That doesn't mean just dentists. This is dental students. It's, you know, dental team members. A lot of the most drama comes when dental team members are saying snarky things about their employers or vice versa. And that's, I get some pretty ugly stuff emailed to me. The worst is the fact that I got people emailing me stuff from other closed groups that I couldn't get into that they want me to put up on the Dental Hacks Nation. And I mean, no offense. I enjoy stirring it up as much as anyone, but some of this stuff is kind of hurtful. Some of this stuff is really like, I look at the things that people will write on a private hygiene group, and I'm like, if your job is that bad, you need to take a look at yourself for staying there, right? I mean, like mm-hmm. that's like if your boss is that horrible, it's either you really enjoy the conflict or you should just get out. There's really not. There's no, like, I don't understand why you would stay in a situation like that. So that, you know. There you go. That tends to be the most drama, or people who post cases and want nothing but pats on the back when in reality the cases are nightmares. We've had a fair amount of that lately too. So,
I think I know who you're talking about. But
yeah. Everyone who's been on the Facebook page knows exactly who I'm talking about.
I know. I thought you were gonna like give me a name and like the actual post.
Oh, I have no problem. It's Kenny Wilstead. I mean, he's blocked me, so I can't even see what he's doing anymore. But yeah, he likes to post cases, but he won't. If someone asks him anything about it that's slightest bit challenging, he don't want to talk about it.
So oh, never mind. Mind you,
you'll notice me. I'm not posting a lot of cases because, frankly, I don't want to get in a fight about it either. So you gotta kind of pick your battles. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I thought we were talking about somebody else.
No. Well, there's plenty. Don't worry. There's plenty to go around. That's right.
Yeah, yeah. No, man. Yeah, you're right.
That said, I mean, I don't know if I can recommend people joining the Dental Hacks Nation because it's a huge time suck. Like, I mean, it's great because there's. I mean, we have.
That's Facebook, man. But that's Facebook.
Yeah, it is. It is Facebook, but it's like dental specific time suck Facebook. Like we did our media. We put our media kit together for advertisers not that long ago. I'm gonna see if I can find it here. Because
did you do it yourself or you got somebody to do that?
I just did it off Canva. It looks all right. It's getting the job done. Let me just see if I can find it here. Because I was pulling stats off of Facebook and they blew my mind. Like the sheer number of the amount of interaction on the Dental Hacks or on the it blows my mind. Like I kind of can't even believe it. Like it's here we go. I'm gonna just look at it. Mm-hmm. It's let's see. We have on average. Let's see. We have 20,000 active members, 20,500, which is to say we have over 24 members, but active members, which is to say they've viewed, commented, or posted in the last 30 days, 20,500 people. So that's big. We have just under 38 original posts each day, so new posts. And we have Dental Hacks Nation participants comment on posts an astounding 615 times every day. So that's an active page. That's like crazy active.
I know.
Bordering on, we need to get a life is what it comes down to.
We need to get a life.
Totally. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's good, man. That's good. Quick question. I wanted to ask you about this, like people who are doing a startup, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think like this podcast, eventually we need to ask something that could benefit the listener. No, I'm just kidding.
Because we're sort of just talking. Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm kidding. I mess with you, man. But what do you think you, like, for example, you as an older dentist, what are you tired of seeing, man? Like startups do, maybe a mistake. I don't know.
That's a good question. And it's tough because here's the thing. I like technology.
Mm-hmm.
I am a late adapter on some stuff, but I like technology. I got a good answer for you. Mm-hmm. I got a good answer for you because this really works. And I think a lot technology cannot make up for the fundamentals. And I'm talking, it kind of goes almost everywhere, but like, whether that's managing your office, and I can't say that I'm not a terrific manager, let's say, but managing your office, but also clinical stuff. Like the bottom line is your fundamentals have to be really great, no matter what technology you're using or not using. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Just because you have a digital scanner or a CEREC or whatever, the crown preparation and the everything, the basics still have to be great. I think sometimes. People feel like technology can make up for their lack of knowledge or their lack of care or the, you know what I'm saying? Like that bugs me a little bit. I'm not saying that I'm pro technology. There's plenty of really great dentists using technology, but it is not the end all. In other words, like having a certain thing in your office is not going to make the world know you're a great dentist. That's not how it works.
That's true.
I also think that, I probably talked about this last time. I think every new startup dentist, I don't know if startup dentists have a lot of time on their hands or not. They probably, I really don't. I've never done startups, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But if we're smart, they would write the copy on their website themselves. Or I think every young dentist should have a blog, talk about what they're doing. And the story is like blogs are so, 2005, but in a way, I mean, if you're putting out, Google still likes them. Google mm-hmm. still likes content that's put out on a regular basis, but also you can let people know what you're like. What like a patient, literally, if you have written about the way you feel about dentistry, how your office is, stuff about you, they can walk in that office. They already know me. They already know what to expect from me. And frankly, I don't have to kill myself to make it like just one of those things.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So be a part of it in the right way. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't just figure you can throw money at a problem. I know that a lot of marketing is a matter of being able to spend money in the right places, but a lot, I mean, I feel like they're inexpensive in the fact of dollars. They're not inexpensive time. I mean,
yeah.
You have to put a lot of your own time in to do that thing. So that's, no one really wants to hear that, I think is a really good thing to do for you to let the world know who you are.
What kind of, I guess with that question, or like with that, what you said, what kind of marketing, like, do you think is like baloney? Like, you're just like, whatever about it.
It's funny because I have tried very little. Like,
but like, what have you seen? Like, let's just put your opinion. Let's just put your opinion. Like, your opinion. What kind of marketing are you like? That don't work.
Okay, so I get a lot of mailers. I get a lot of mailers at my house. Well, I've gotten the same brochure from the same guy. I mean, every at least quarterly for the last 10 years. So you know what that means? That means that the demographic information from my you know, the fact that I have an income level that the demographics know, just get on their list and they send it to me. It must be working because why would they? I think a mailer like that is I don't know. I don't. Most people want baby boomers who have lousy teeth so they can take them all and put implants in. I'm not like that. I like my avatar patient is a millennial who has their first job, is the first time they get to be treated like a grown up. That's my jam. And those people, actually, people say, oh, they don't have any decay. I'm like, are you kidding me? They did not have Red Bull when I was a kid. Okay. So they do have decay. They have habits. It isn't that they didn't grow up with fluoride. They have habits. They don't have a lot of gum disease per se. They don't have a lot of missing teeth unless there's been trauma, but they have needs, you know. And they are the ones that are more likely to give you a great review without you asking. Mm-hmm. They are the ones that are more likely to appreciate the technology that you do incorporate. For me, and I know people are like, yeah, but they don't have any money. I'm like, yeah, but the story is like, we'll never run out of people that don't have any money that need dental care. Okay, that part, no matter where you are, there's plenty of that. What I'm saying is there's, you know, millennials that have a job, how are they going to find a dentist? Are they going to look at a mailer that comes in their mail? Probably not. They probably Googled you. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then they probably did a deep dive on what your website looks like. That's what I want. I want that early 30-something guy who just moved into town, got his first real serious job, and is ready to find his own dentist. You know, the dentist he's been going to for the first 28 years of his life is in another town, and it's like, as much as I love that guy, I got to find a dentist. And so I want to be the one where they see, go, I want to go to this guy because look at what he's doing. You know, that's what, and I'm so. That's kind of been my marketing focus. That said, I don't focus on marketing at all. I haven't done enough. I mean, I used to just write in the blog all the time, and that just killed it.
Yeah.
We have a lot of organic reviews. We don't have any particular service that we use to get reviews. We don't, you know, like, I do think some of those services can be a little bit BS. Like, my concern is that every service out there that you pay for to get reviews, eventually Google and Yelp are going to find out what you're doing, and so I don't know that they take your reviews away, but they're always having to
do something about it.
Those services almost by definition are outsmarting the system, and that system doesn't like to be outsmarted. You know what I mean? And so I always feel like they're always going to have to outrun that. So I don't have a beef with those services because I think they work, but I also know that in the back of my mind there's always that, you know. I'd much rather have a lot that were actual, the patient just went to Google and did that. Those are the best because those are, you can't, no one can complain about those.
Yeah.
Mailers, I think, are kind of a farce because they're expensive. You know, they're expensive. I have no idea how well they do. I don't know. That kind of stuff, there's a lot, and websites that cost a lot, and more than that, that cost a lot to maintain.
That,
you know, where it's like, it's a $5,000, you know,
maintenance
$5,000 stroke, and then it's you know, $500 a month to maintain it and stuff like that. I'm just like, they're happy to be vague about what you're paying for on that deal. Yeah. I know that, and I haven't done any of that. It's more what I've heard from being, you know, in the podcast and stuff. But so that's kind of been my thing. I think you just have to beware and spend your money wisely. Anything that's got a contract, a long term contract, screw that, man.
What's long term for you though? Like, if I were to tell you, like, hey, this is a 6-month contract, would you?
No,
like,
that's not that. That 6 months, especially if you're doing something on the web or something marketing, you have to give it enough time to work.
Yeah.
So that's not a long term contract. I'm not even talking about marketing per se. I'm talking about anything that's got a contract. That's like, there's a certain company I work with that I sort of signed up not realizing what the contract actually meant, and you know, my credit card gets charged X amount, and I there's no the service is unnecessary. Like the original service that I did with them was fine, but the service is unnecessary. And so I'm, you know, they're taking a couple hundred bucks out of my credit card every month, even though I'm, there's no, like it's an HR thing. It's an HR thing. And it makes you want to like, just make up HR questions that are super weird just to keep them busy because they're taking my money. And it was a serious contract. At the time I signed on, not really understanding. So I won't do that again. Just beware of contracts. You have to make sure you play the tape through because they sound like not a big deal until you realize it's just a stroke they get to take every month. So,
I know, yeah, you're right.
But the other thing is, every company, that's the way to make money, mm-hmm. is get on their credit card for a couple hundred bucks a month and hopefully they forget that you're there.
That's true. That's,
like, it's a great way to make money, you know. And I can't gyms. Fault them if it's something that you use, you know.
Yeah, you're right. So right now it's, and I like, to be honest, like I 100% agree, like, you really do need just exceptional service so people can leave reviews and have like your unique selling point, right? Like just mm-hmm. be unique, be yourself, and like ask for reviews, and then referrals come in, right? So yep. many times, like sometimes dentists will tell me like, yeah, man, I'm doing great. And I'm like, oh, how many new patients are you getting? They're like, oh, around 30, 40. And I'm like, oh, that's cool, you know? And then some people are like, I'm getting 200, right? But the 200 person is like, just drill and fill, and that's it, right? The 30 patient person is like, oh, yeah, a couple are, you know, full mouth reconstruction, some are Invisalign, you know, things like that. And mm-hmm. I'm like, man, I'd way rather have something like that than 200, and then like the business is running me. You know what I mean?
That's a 200. Whole... I mean, 200, I honestly, I don't know how you'd do that. You'd have to have a staff of thousands to keep track of that, man. I mean, yeah. 200 new patients, assuming that you have a decent sized practice. That's to me, I'm like, you got to look at the back door on that deal, because I don't know that you can serve everyone well.
Yeah,
I don't know if you can serve people that well.
Their retention.
If everyone accepted, if case acceptance was amazing and all you did was the case and then you were done in maintaining them, then I guess that's fine. I don't know that that's real. I mean, you'd have to have a lot of dentists to do that.
But then, man, to be honest, like when you interview people, how many times are you interviewing them and then you're like, you just pulled that number out of your butt right now. Like, just kind of like you're blowing.
The other thing is there's most dentists are probably more like me, and they don't know their numbers like that, and they just they don't want to sound dumb.
You're just like, oh,
that's that. So the number comes up, and you try and peg it into what you think is right. Yeah, like you know you're doing well when you're not really worried about money. Basically, you know, like a dumb way to do things. But I mean, there are ways like that to do it where you're like, things are going okay. I'm all right. Things are, you know, I'm not. My kids are eating, and the bills are getting paid, and the staff is happy, and you know, I seem to be doing patient stuff okay. I'm able to take some time off. That's a pretty good spot to be in. It's probably better to actually know, but there's a little bit of this whole emotional, well, we're doing okay kind of thing. So I don't know. That's a little bit like me, I guess.
I hate it when, like, you feel like you're doing okay, and then, like, let's just say you're doing okay the whole year, and then one little bad thing happens, and you're kind of like, ah,
this is the
quit.
Worst year ever. Exactly. No, I've totally done that. I know what you're talking about.
Like, I hate this. I don't know. I think I'm going to be a doctor now instead of a dentist. I don't know.
I'm working for Starbucks. Yeah.
They give me benefits. I don't have to worry about life or anything. Yep. Dude, that happens all the time. Really quick, what do you hate or dislike about dentistry, and what do you really, really love? Like, one thing right now.
Let me think about that. What do I dislike about dentistry?
I would say hate, but if you don't hate anything, you know.
Yeah.
Those are the people who
You know what? This is probably a little too easy, but I hate how much it costs to become a dentist.
That is easy.
I hate that.
Okay.
I hate that.
Okay, but assuming that we're all dentists, like, I mean, like you're everybody who is already listening as a dentist, you're like, yeah, I agree. It does cost a lot. In the practice form, like owning your own practice. What do you hate? Or just in dentistry, in the clinical side too.
Okay, this will be controversial, like this. I hate the drive towards implants. I think in a lot of cases, implant-driven stuff, I think we need Justin Moody's out there to teach us how to do what he's doing. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of people are quick to desert the idea of people having teeth. They're like, they got this way on their own and they don't need teeth anymore, let's do full arch solutions. And I mean, I think there's a place for that, but first off, there's a lot of people that there's a lot of actual people that really can't afford that.
Yeah.
And there's not a way to make that into an inexpensive process for people, so there's that. But the other thing is, I think so much of, if you if you are so oriented to not having teeth, then does it change the way you look at restoring and saving teeth? You know, like how come these guys in Eastern Europe with amazingly meticulous strategies and technique are able to make teeth work in where in the same place we can't do that here? You know, that because they're using the fundamentals, they're using excellent isolation, they're using high magnification, they're using all these things where it's hard. That's the hard work. And a lot of times we look at a tooth, and if it, you know, if it's got a big cavity on it, or if, you know, if it's got some bone loss, just take it out, put an implant in there. It's almost like it's too easy in some ways. I'm going to get a lot of pushback from that. They're going to say, I just don't know how to place implants well enough. That's true. But my thing about it is, though, is that when did we get away from, like, and why is it that the bar for saving a tooth has changed so much? That bugs me. That probably makes me an old guy. I don't know. It makes me sound like I'm 70 years old and in my day. But I mean, there is a little bit of that. In other words, there's a lot of people that are so quick to move to implants, you know, that bugs me.
Why do you think that? Is it more because of like the money?
Because it's money. Because I mean, honestly, you get paid a lot more for those things, and insurance doesn't cover those things in a lot of cases. So that's a fee for service. And I'm not saying that insurance is the end all, but the reality is that I think the move towards that is money based in a lot of ways, especially if it's a tooth that with a little bit of wherewithal you could hang on to. In that way, I feel like dentistry has moved away from actually restoring teeth and more towards getting people into implants. And my thing is that I don't know that we have enough long-term research on that. I'm not saying that that we're setting ourselves up for failure, but it will be interesting to see how that ends up looking over a period of years. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's interesting, man. I also kind of think it's like a little bit on the money side too, or a lot of it on the money side.
I think money is excellent. I like money, but the thing about it is that I think we're supposed to look out for the patient's well-being more so than, and I mean, there's a lot of patients that have a dentition that's terminal. I get it. It's not, I don't want people to think that I have my head in the sand, but I mean, there are sometimes that we're quick to make those decisions. That's all I'm saying.
But look at it from like the general population side, like the patient side, right? Like, I mean, they're not stupid either. You know what I mean? They're not gonna be like, oh, you're right, let me just take out my teeth. You know what I mean? I remember when I was getting some of my wisdom teeth taken out, I was like, this doesn't feel natural. I kind of want it back in now. But yeah. I mean, at the same time, sometimes it has to happen. So I think, like, say for example, I go to you and then you're like, Michael, you're gonna need like implants, right? And I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna immediately be like, yes sir, let's do it, let's mm-hmm. make it happen, take mm-hmm. my money please. I'm gonna say like, mm-hmm. Let me talk to somebody else and let me shop around or something, right? Let me see my options. I don't just...
Yeah.
Because first of all, you're telling me I need to take out like my natural tooth, right? And second of all, I got to throw loads of cash at you. So it's... You got to be really good at persuading sometimes, right? And I think that's also...
Yeah, and I think too that there's a certain amount of being the implant guy in your town. You get the people that are ready to go and have an understanding of what they're getting into. If you aren't that guy, and if that's a surprise to your patient, that's a different conversation for sure. You know what I'm saying? Like, if a patient comes in and they broke a tooth and it doesn't hurt, and they think you're just going to slap a filling in there, and you say, "Oh, this tooth can't be restored; it needs an implant." That's a surprise. That's a bit of a shocker for them. Mm-hmm. Whereas, I mean, like if you're the implant guy in your town, they come to you because you do implants and you replace teeth. That's less of a shocker to that person. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they're more already ready. You're right. So I guess
that. I think that's depending on how your marketing goes.
Yeah,
if you want to be the implant guy in town, I think marketing can help with that. It helps to actually be really awesome at doing implants too. There's that as well.
Yeah, you're right. Alrighty, man. Well, I was going to say, like, normally, do we leave anything out? But we just kind of started conversating and just...
We didn't really... that's all right with me, too. This is... We're already over an hour. So,
all right, let's start recording. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I didn't start press... I pressed play relatively late in the game, so there was never any kind of... You didn't really do an intro. If you would like to record an intro and then edit it in, that's okay with me, too. I'm pretty good right now, though.
I kind of just, like... speak at the beginning and I'm like, all right, here's our give everybody the context and then boom, you know what I mean? Right. Here's the thing, I noticed the more editing I do, the more people are gonna, I don't know what it is, but eventually the downloads kind of go down, But the less editing I do where I leave like this stuff in, right, where we're talking about it, the mistakes, people see personality in mistakes, man. So it's kind of like, oh, okay, cool. Like, I got to know Michael more. I know who Alan is. You know what I mean? Like,
I agree that, like, and you remember, too, in the beginning, you used to edit a lot more than you do now.
Heck yeah.
It's like you felt like you had to take every and ah out, all that sort of thing.
Extra spaces. Like, should I leave 0.7 seconds in or 0.5 seconds in?
The reality is actual conversations happen. Like, they have ums and ahs in it. And I think as long as it's not, you know, over the top, I think people are okay with that.
Yeah. That's true. Did you want to leave it at that, or do you want to talk more about?
How about this? How about if I stop this recording and I'll start another one? We'll just do a 10 or 12 minute dental hacks daily. I'm going to ask you what the heck ground marketing is. So I'm going to just hit stop there.
Okay. I'm going to be super salesy, and I'm going to be like, oh man, it's all.
No, feel free to plug yourself as much as you want. No, I'm serious. That's what it's about.
Is it really? That's what the dental hacks is about?
Yeah. Well,
I mean, the daily. No, I don't want to do that.
It's not what it's about, but I'm saying we allow our guests to talk about what they're doing, and I'm perfectly happy to. If you're going to be on the show and you're going to give us a little time, I'm happy to let you explain to people. Like, we always put websites in there. I literally don't quite know what ground marketing actually is, okay? So, like, I think I do, but I don't realize. I have not.
Like, looked into it.
Like, I haven't done a lot of legwork to understand, and I think the name of it, you know, it might be called other things to people who are not in the know, that sort of thing. I think it'll be awesome, and I really think it'll be great, but I want you, you know, and that's kind of what you do is what I understand. So, I mean, yeah, if people are interested in finding out about it, then probably they should look into it, you know what I'm saying? So why not let someone who's doing it and is explaining it to me talk about it? So,
hey, man, Voice of Dentistry is going to be in January, though?
Yeah.
Oh man, that's gonna be awesome. Okay.
Yeah, it's gonna be great. It's not technically official, but you know, hey, it is what it is. Where it's coming out. Like getting the four of us all on one recording has been the hardest thing so far. Like Mark, Justin, Jason, and I all in one place at one time. That's the hardest part at this point, to try and get a recording, an official recording out that we can all put out. So that should be coming soon though. So
man, that's gonna be exciting.
Okay. That'll be fun. It was good. All right, I'm gonna bring us right in here.
All righty.
Hello, Dental Hacks Nation. Welcome to another Dental Hacks Daily. I have a guest with me today that actually we've been talking to him for a while, and he is a marketer that focuses on some stuff that a lot of marketers nowadays don't really focus on. So today we have with us Michael Arias. Michael, how you doing?
And you got to go listen to the Dental Hacks Daily to hear that part of the interview, okay? So I'm actually going to put a link on the show notes below. I think he broke my interview down into two segments. So I'll try and find both. I don't know if he released the second part yet, but I'll try and find both. But basically, guys, that's literally how a podcast goes. I mean, it's not always like that. Sometimes you call a guest and you only talk for like a minute and then you're like, okay, you ready? Ready. And then you start recording, right? But when it's, you know, both of us, I mean, like, or other podcasters, I mean, we can talk for a long, long time. So I hope you guys really enjoyed that episode. I'm going to point out again, I loved how you said podcasting is fun. It borders on goofing around. Guys, really go think about joining. Think about attending this Voices of Dentistry coming up, because you'll see so much excitement happening there. I like how we talked about the Dental Hacks group. If you guys know about the Dental Hacks group, go join it. It's a huge Facebook group, and it's basically, it's good. It's good. It's a really good group. So I would say go join it. Just if you're like overly highly sensitive, don't be. I also like how we talked about what Alan thinks every dentist, especially startups, should do. And remember how Ashley said, I think we should doc, she missed what she felt like she needed to do more was document more. And what we always tell other practices, like me, as far as, you know, you reach out to me, I always tell you guys, do more Facebook Lives, go out in the community more, talk about that, write a blog about that, right? Perfect. I mean, that's content. And then Alan says the same thing, like, you just need to blog more. Like, people need to see you more, right? They don't need to see your $99 whitening special all over Instagram, Facebook, and everything like that, right? And that's the thing. Social media has given us a way to kind of blog, quote-unquote, more. I see Instagram like Subi Zimmerman said, it's more like a online magazine, right? Or like your online business card. So like, let people see you, let people know you. And that episode is Subi Zimmerman. I'll look for it. I'll try and put it in the show notes below as well. Really, really good episode as well. She's like the queen of Instagram. But anyways, I also like how we talked about what was Alan thinking when he first started the podcast. He really wasn't thinking like money, right? He was thinking more just goofing around, and he really just wanted to, that's what I did too. I wanted to pick the brains of other dentists, of other marketers and things like that, of people like, I don't think I would have ever gotten in front of them, right? If it wasn't for the podcast. So that's really good. Also, guys, if you are unfamiliar with ground marketing, please, please go listen to the Dental Hacks Daily. Really, really good. Go listen to the episode where I'm in it and I'm talking about ground marketing. And then that way you guys can get a better picture, better understanding of what ground marketing is and how it really is like super affordable, low cost, and highly effective. Very, very highly effective. So go listen to that, and I'll put it in the show notes below. But yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Go let Alan know, like, hey man, what's up? I heard you on the podcast. Really awesome stuff. Let him know, you know what I mean? Go thank him for being on the podcast. And thank you guys for tuning in. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram under The Dental Marketer and Facebook under The Dental Marketer as well. And join the Facebook group Ground Marketing as well. So you guys can, you know, we can engage more, get bounce ideas of ground marketing off there, post pictures, all these things, right? It's just a Facebook group that's growing. And I think we're almost at 300 members or more. 300 or more members. I don't know. But yeah, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Please be sure, if you like what you're listening to leave a review on iTunes. And you can listen to this anywhere. Well, you're probably already listening to this episode wherever, right? On Spotify or anything. But now we're pretty much on any medium where you want to listen to us. So yeah. And do me a favor, guys. Share this episode with one person. Every listener, let's try and share this episode with one person. I am on the road to 1 million downloads, and I want to reach there. It sounds pretty far off, but I want to reach there by the end of this year, if possible. I'm like at, how many downloads have I had? I don't even know. I think I'm at 100,000, a little over 100,000, and I really want to get to 1 million. So share it, guys. Let's share this episode. Let's help each other grow. And yeah, thank you so much for tuning in, and I will talk to you guys really soon.